The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday morning show, where we are live and local. Part two of the Saturday morning live and local lineup. Jimmy takes us from 6 to 9. I warm you up for bird talk at noon, and we take your calls all morning long. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. And I'll tell you, I think hell has finally frozen over. 17 degrees in Aurora and 17 degrees right over there in hell. And I don't know. I just can't tell whether I want a ton of snow to roll in for the traditional white Christmas, which I love so much. I don't know about you. I've really enjoyed being out in the sun and doing stuff outside and getting the starving or, well, drought-starved trees watered. I've got a lot of trees at home. And so I'm just rolling with the punches. But I'll tell you, you cannot open your mouth these days and not be called anti-something. If you stand up and say, you know, the big tornadoes are not because of man-caused climate change, you're anti-science. If you say that, you know, weather extremes have been going on for a long, long time, and CO2, which is now categorized as a poisonous gas, a damaging gas to the environment, to the atmosphere, makes up about one in every 10,000 particles of air. You just can't say those things out loud without being some kind of anti-something. If you stand up against critical race theory and the sexualization of our kids in schools, you're racist, you're anti-black people, you're anti-true history, you're anti-homosexuality, you're anti-this and you're anti-that. And I, for one, just really don't care. As far as I'm concerned, it's important to say what you believe and talk about what you know and not worry about the lamestream, mainstream, well-fed, well-read media folks out there who just want to fill your brain with propaganda to have you thinking and looking at life a certain way. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, ruling in the Dominion versus Fox News lawsuit that I think is very, very interesting for you. This is the last show before Christmas, actually the last show before the new year, because if I'm back on January 1st, that'll be the first day of the year. What a kickoff, man, that's going to be. And I just haven't decided whether I'll be in a mood to do radio after New Year's Eve. We've got a lot to celebrate here in the Corcoran family. My grandson, number one, turned 3 years old yesterday. And this is the motorcycle riding. You know, we've got that electric motorcycle. I told the story a little while ago. These electric motors, have you ever driven in a Tesla or operated any kind of equipment that is has an electric motor, not an engine, an electric motor? It is either off or on. Now, you can modulate that, but if you go full on, I mean, it is like 0 to 100 and just no time at all. You can hardly hold on to the steering wheel in a Tesla. And it's the same on my grandson's little electric motorcycle. And so fortunately, it had a switch there where you could, you know, trim it down, and he rides that thing like crazy, just fearlessly but under control. Been riding for, I don't know, probably 7 months now. He was three yesterday. But there was just one time that he figured out that switch, and he flipped that baby on full. And it's on video. It's a classic video. And he had gotten on it without his helmet, which made his mother and his grandmother very unhappy. And he got on, and he had the power turned all the way on, and he hit the on switch. And literally, it just rode right out from under him. He launched and then wobbled and then fell. And he got up, and he was more embarrassed than he was hurt. And when he came back, he very carefully came back with the motorcycle, he said, "Coco," which is what he calls my wife. That's his name for grandma. "Coco, I go slower. I go slow." So he's been a little more careful. We'll see if that changes, because in the back of my car on the way to the birthday party celebration for him today after the show is his Yamaha 50, his first gas-powered motorcycle. And, you know, no clutch or anything. It's an automatic. But unlike the electric, it's got foot pegs and a Kickstarter, and there's no way to tune it down. There's no way to sort of limit what it will and won't do. And I've ridden it. It's so little. I almost popped my hips out trying to ride that thing around. But it's a lot of fun. And what's exciting for me is I have decided to relive my reckless youth through grandson number one. And hopefully, you know, if the other grandsons, 2 and 3, have the same interests, it'll carry on as long as my body holds up. But I'm now shopping for my dirt bike and maybe one for his dad. So, you know, get a little trailer and be able to teach him how to jump and ride wheelies and do the dirt. So if anybody's out there got a pair of dirt bikes and a trailer for sale, give me a call, 303-6. No, do this off the air. It'd be better. But very, very exciting day, and I just can't wait. I love the listeners to 710. You guys, the loyal listeners are extraordinary. And I don't think there's anybody more loyal to 710 KNUS and all of our hosts than listener Alexa. And she remembers things like anniversaries. And just as I was coming into the studio, I got a text from my hot rod buddy, Henry. And as you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, we sort of went through this with Henry last year as his beautiful wife got diagnosed with cancer and slowly and surely. And he just doted on her and donated so much time and made sure that Nellie had the best last year that they could. And we'd shout out to her and listeners would call in and they would listen and made her happy. I hope it made him happy. And about a year ago now is when he lost his beloved Nellie, and so he was reminding me, sending out the Christmas card from last year and all of that. And then I come in and sit down, and the first text on the screen this morning on the 710 KNUS app is from Alexa. And Henry, I texted you to make sure you were listening. Here's what she had to say. "Please send KNUS listener love to Henry this week, as it will be 1 year since the loss of his wife, Alexa." So that's the little family that we have hanging out here on 710 KNUS. God bless each and every one of you who care so much and just love so much. You know, we're fighting for important things, and we're doing it together. We're doing it in the face of so much criticism and so much ugliness from people who don't bother to take the time to figure out what's really going on, or because they've come to their own conclusions, won't talk about it, won't debate it. I have said this 100,000 times. Maybe that's a slight exaggeration, maybe only 99,000 times on this microphone, that anybody who wants to talk about elections, who wants to talk about January 6th, and all of the mainstream propaganda about those things, vaccines and masks, just give me a call. Tell me the topic. Tell me how long we have. Keep it focused on the topic so we can actually go deep into the details. And I would really look forward to that. 303-696-1971. It's Christmas, and as you know, parties everywhere. We canceled the Arapaho Tea Party meeting for December because there were just so many, especially Republican events. And, you know, the Tea Party, even though it is really sort of the opposition to the mainstream old guard Republican Party, is still here to support conservative candidates, and you only find those in the Republican Party. So I thought it would really be good for folks to spend time supporting Republicans and report Republican candidates. I've been invited to a bunch of those parties, attended some, but man, everywhere I go, the candidates are showing up. And we've got some great candidates for statewide office, for Congress, for U.S. Senate. Just remarkable biographies and perspectives. Very, very different points of view for so many of them. And maybe for me, because I know most of these people so well, very personally, and already know their histories, when they stand up and give the, you know, the obligatory, hey, I'm this person and I'm running for that office and blah, 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 man, I just haven't been feeling it. I have not been feeling the inspiration. I've not been feeling the power and the energy. And I just wonder, as a Republican activist, as someone who is willing to fight to the, literally to the death for this country, what do you want to hear from candidates who are taking on the opposition? We already know that the Democrat Party is in the control of left-wing extremists and left-wing radicals. So what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear from, for instance, a U.S. Senate candidate that I won't support Mitch McConnell as majority leader? He just handed Joe Biden another victory and another victory. And then, you know, the lawyer in me comes to his defense and thinks, yeah, and we don't have Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court because of Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell is now standing proudly talking about how, while we were in charge, I didn't give up the filibuster because we can't fundamentally change the Senate. Now, while the Democrats have this 50-50 majority, they 50-50 majority because of VP Harris, putatively, that, you know, he was the rock that stood in the fray, the pressure from Donald Trump and others to flip the filibuster while Republicans had an opportunity to get things done. Is that heroic? Do you really believe that if the Democrats get just another vote, if there wasn't Senator Seneca and a Senator Manchin standing in their way, that they wouldn't flip those rules right now? Should we be hanging on to these traditions, or should we be fighting to stop the enemy? Because the Democrats are the enemy. They've become the enemy. And I don't say this to Democrat listeners who are just out there living your lives and, you know, because of social issues or whatever, a personal dislike for Donald Trump and his mean tweeting or any of those things. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who have taken control of your party that are anti-America, anti-sovereignty, anti just a normal reading, writing, arithmetic education for your children, anti-slow growth of government, reducing the size of government, anti-increasing your taxes. Those are the folks who are running the show, all three levers of government, right now. And all you've got to do is listen to the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars and everybody else to understand the level of extremity that's going on over there, the level of extremism that's happening. And then they'll say, well, yeah, but look at those people on the right, the insurrectionists at the Capitol. A tiny group of some morons, some people who just showed up because they, you know, they were just going to the Capitol. Or Donald Trump, he was so extreme with those, you know, under $2 a gallon gas prices and energy independence and building a wall to protect us from invasion on the southern border from COVID-infested, transplants whose first act is breaking our laws to enter our country, and a Democrat Party that wants to open up the checkbook and open up the voting rolls for them to help keep themselves in power forever. Do we want compromisers? Do we want mild, middle-of-the-road people? Is that really something that's going to be effective in standing up against this tipping point that we all face as America first, country-loving citizens of this United States with kids and grandkids and a future that we just so desperately want to protect for them? Or do we need fighters? You know, Joe Manchin is being just pilloried by the MSLSDs and the Washington Compost and New York Slimes and Democrats in general because he won't be the deciding vote. He won't permit this Build Back Worse bill of putative President Joe Biden to pass. So, you know, for us, he's a hero. But then I think about, is that something to celebrate? Sure, it's great right now. Thank God that man is in this place at this time. But think back to when Republicans, after election after election, promising to overturn Obamacare, promising to get rid of Obamacare once and for all. And John McCain, as he was dying of cancer, and forget about, you know, war hero, war history, Donald Trump, criticism of him. This man, who himself ran on repealing Obamacare over and over and over. And I know, you know, as a senator, he's only in an actual election once every 6 years. But on the campaign trail, when he was campaigning for other people, he was part of the mantra that we need the majority. We will overturn Obamacare. And then when the opportunity came, and really it was almost his last dying act, when opportunity came, 2 o'clock in the morning, I remember it well. If you were watching on C-SPAN, you're a geek. But it was very, very dramatic. All of the votes were in. John McCain was the last vote. Nobody was certain what he was going to do. Mitch McConnell was standing there with his arms folded, watching and waiting for the spotlight. John McCain slowly walks over to the vote counter and gives the infamous thumbs down, and Obamacare lived on. Now, we celebrate Joe Manchin as a Democrat right now, standing in the breach of radical leftist policies. And the left celebrated John McCain when he stood in the breach of what they perceived as a radical right-wing policy. So what are we looking for in our candidates? 303-696-1971. One line's open. Joe and Steve will get to some calls before the break. For me, I'm just ready for a fight. And I'm not going to get into the relative merits of either side of the political debate, because there are no relative merits to open borders. There are no relative merits to illegality. There are no relative merits to teaching transsexualism to our kindergartners. And the list goes on and on and on. If you're a radical right-wing constitutional conservative like me, all you're really believing in is less government, less taxes, the rule of law, individual responsibility, opportunity for everybody. We saw some of those policies implemented during the Trump era and just how quickly it turned everything around in a very positive way, unless you're a right-wing, unless you're a left-wing radical like those in charge of the Democrat Party. But for our politicians, I'm looking for fighters. And so far, and maybe this is, you know, it's early in the campaigns and we're trying to just introduce ourselves. I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is. I think if I were to run for something, I would just come out swinging from day one. What do you have to lose? You're in a blue state. You're in a state with a governor who will spend $20 million or more dollars to ensure his own reelection, a senator who's got millions and millions of dollars in the bank already, and the support, of course, of the governor and all of the other Democrats that are in charge of the state right now. What do you have to lose? Our very own Republican Secretary of State candidate, what is her name? Pamela, is it Anderson? I'm sorry, I should have written this down, but I heard her at some of these events, you know, where the candidates go around and say hello. And Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, currently in charge, and the Republican candidate said that she stood up for election integrity. But in the same breath, not in this particular statement, but I've heard her, she talks about how we had tremendously secure elections here in the state of Colorado. So why do you need to stand up for election integrity if the elections are already secure? That to me is just pablum. It's just spoon feeding, you know, trying to keep the base of the Republican Party engaged. But it's a wink, wink, just kidding, because I've already said our elections are fine. And anybody, anybody who says our elections are fine is absolutely a fool. Good spelling. No, that's not the right last name. No way. No way. Anyway, I want to hear fight, and I want to hear truth. I want to hear people who fearless. If you think the elections were fine, say so. If you think the elections weren't fine, then just have your quick three reasons. You know, the constitutionality, the lack of voter ID, the all mail-in ballots, the same-day registration. Pick two or three of those things that you want to pick off and make better and make stronger. The things that the Democrats fight against in every state that's trying to implement those election security measures. But stand up for something. Don't try to placate me or the Republican base or anybody else. And really, if you're addressing a group of Republicans, I want you to get that crowd up out of its chairs. I was at one event and I was not asked to speak, probably for very good reason. But I know for a fact, after watching the candidates, that had I stood up, I'd have had that place on fire. You got to energize these people. You've got to motivate them to get out and work and do something. It's so critical. What do you want to hear from your candidates? And do we celebrate elected officials like Joe Manchin, just as the left celebrated elected officials like John McCain when he permitted Obamacare to survive, in spite of his campaign promises over and over and over to do just the opposite, probably solely based on his hatred of Donald Trump? What are we looking for in America right now? What can we tolerate in America right now? And I lied to the full lines. Everybody, please sit tight at 9:21. We do need to take our break. And so we'll do that. Get right straight to your phone calls when we return on 710 KNUS. The last Wake Up with Randy Corcoran before Christmas Day. Obviously, we won't be here next week. And assuming I'm welcomed back in 2022, I haven't decided about January 1st. We just don't know yet what the family is going to do for New Year's. But man, oh man, can you believe we're at the end of this year and that Christmas is right around the corner? It is something. And hard to get stuff, and I've noticed some changes in the grocery store shelves and everything else. Thank you, putative President Joe Biden. We appreciate you so very much. Before we jump on the phones, Ted Harvey will join us at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, the founder and president of the Committee to Defeat the President, and former Colorado State Senator, just one of the most politically astute people I know. We'll talk a little bit about this sort of Joe Manchin and John McCain dichotomy, what Republicans need to do to win. See if he's got any thoughts at all about Colorado. He's on kind of a national level these days, and I don't know if he thinks we've got a shot in Colorado or not, but we will find out together. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, former CIA operative and lawyer extraordinaire, writer over there at And Magazine, and now a good friend, Sam Faddis, will join us. He's got his latest piece is on the ash heap of Biden history that will be inherited by the next president. Last thing I want to tell you. If you were listening yesterday or reading online or watching on TV, especially the Corrupt News Network or MSLSD, all you heard about all day long was that the Fox News motion to dismiss the Dominion lawsuit was denied by the court. And so that means that the facts are there and Fox News is in trouble and the suit is going to continue. And you just never get the real story. So just let me lay this out for you real quick. This is a defamation lawsuit, and in these suits, one of the first steps that is always done by a defendant is to file a motion to dismiss. And in Colorado, there's an anti-SLAPP statute, strategic litigation against public participation, which is sort of the first stage of the two-stage motion to dismiss process that's available in these cases. But let me just read to you what the judge said, so that you understand that there's no significance. It's disappointing. If you're a defendant, you want the suit kicked as early as possible. And so to know that the suit is going forward doesn't mean, oh my God, we've got to get our checkbook out and we've got to settle. Let me just read to you from the ruling itself. This is Delaware Superior Court Judge Eric M. Davis. And this is the way it works in the law on a motion to dismiss. And then we will jump right to the phones. For purposes of the motion, this is the Fox News motion to dismiss the defamation claim by Dominion. For purposes of the motion, the court must view all well-pled facts alleged in the complaint as true and in a light most favorable to Dominion. Do you understand what that means? He went on, indeed, at this stage, the court usually does not consider facts outside the complaint. So at this early stage, no depositions, no discovery, no evidence has been taken whatsoever. The court, looking only at the allegations of the Dominion complaint, and at this stage, according to the law, the court must view those allegations, those paragraphs, those statements alleged in the complaint as true and in the light most favorable to Dominion. So the fact that the court, under that standard, said this lawsuit can go to the next step means not a damn thing about the merits of the case or what the ultimate outcome will be. And you just never see that on most of the mainstream TV stations. You never hear it on mainstream radio, and you never see it in mainstream or left-wing news. You know, the Washington Compost is a losing operation. Now, I haven't updated these statistics, but I remember when it was purchased, it was losing money like crazy, and the people that bought it did it to use it as a political tool. And that's what's being done with the CNNs and the Washington Composts and the repeat media that buys into it. Shame on you. Shame on them. All right, 9:32, 28 minutes to go until the top of the hour. We'll start with Steve in Roxborough because he wants to comment on the Joe Manchin. Well, he says here, Joe Manchin, Mitch McConnell. So, Steve, good morning. Merry Christmas, sir.
Hi, Merry Christmas, Randy. I was just going to comment. Part of the problem with the Republican Party is they've tolerated these rhinos for way too long. And I guess the word rhino has been around for a while, but it's really hit home with somebody like Mitch McConnell. You got people like Mitch McConnell, and he had the power to stop the impeachment of Trump, and he went through with it. And you just can't trust these people. Half the time they're going to vote for what you believe, and the other half they're not going to vote for anything you believe in. And I say just get rid of them all. Get rid of Romney. Get rid of Liz Cheney, and get rid of Mitch McConnell. We don't have any use for them. They're basically just unreliable, and they have no principles. Their principles are based on getting reelected. And the same thing with Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin's a Democrat. You can't forget that. He's doing what's convenient for him, which right now means that he's got a million people in that state of his that are Republicans that are watching everything he does, and he's behaving himself right now because he knows people are watching him. But just get a Republican in there that'll vote every time for the Republican principles. And, you know, I'm not saying the Republicans are always right about everything, but the answer isn't to vote with the Democrats.
So, Steve, what do you say to the folks who will say, but wait a minute, you know, not everybody believes in the Republican platform. Not everybody believes in, defending the unborn life or some of the other arguments that we get into when we're talking about social issues. Some people believe we need compromise, and Republicans, in order to get elected and even have a chance to influence the debate at all, have to appeal to that group of people as well.
Well, the abortion issue, which is what you're mentioned just a few seconds ago, that happened under a Republican president. I'm not saying that Nixon was personally responsible for abortion being passed, but it happened on his watch. And it was a much more conservative country back then than it is now today. So that's a losing issue. I'm a Christian. And
you're missing my question. Well, I'm not talking about the issue. The question I'm asking is, what do you say to the folks that we need those moderate candidates who will appeal to the middle of the road voters who could vote Democrat again or would consider a Republican under the dire economic circumstances we're in, et cetera. And by coming out as a, you know, platform supporting, fire breathing, a constitutional conservative Republican, you're going to alienate that group of voters that you need to also win, that you also need in order to win. What do you say to that side?
I think that's a bunch of baloney because even, you know, like, he's not here anymore, but Rush Limbaugh made a point of saying that the middle of the road people don't even know what they believe. They can't figure out anything for themselves. So,
see,
I mean, you're not going to win them over. You're just going to make the base less solid. You're not going to win a lot of people. And I know Peter, that's Peter Boyle's mantra.
Yeah,
you got to win elections in the middle, and people are crazy because they thought there was voter fraud. I think you're crazy if you don't think there was voter fraud.
Steve, appreciate the call, man. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Steve's line is open, 303-696-1971. There's no doubt about it. If you can't inspire your base, if you don't get, because it's not 50% of the Republican Party or 50% of the voters who get active in elections. It's the base. It's the people who are on fire for freedom, on fire for the country. And you've got to inspire and motivate those people first. And you don't have to walk away from strong Republican principles. You just have to figure out a better way to communicate them. So those folks in the middle who aren't paying close attention, just trying to live their lives, think Trump was too mean, think it's too expensive to live under Democrat rule, don't get chased away by the conversation that you're having. But I'll tell you, man, some of these Republican events where, you know, you've got people that you know are already on board. They're showing up at Republican events, the same old faces that are doing the calls and writing the checks and everything else. And you're not inspiring them. You're not leaving them on their feet cheering. That's a problem. Pam Anderson, thanks to the 710 CAN US texter on the Secretary of State candidate who talks about maintaining the integrity of elections and restoring or ensuring the integrity of elections, but then on the other hand says, but there's no problem with the election here in Colorado. We're the gold standard, don't forget. 9:37. We opened the show with a little tribute, thanks to a text I received from my friend Henry, who lost his dear wife Nellie on Christmas Day last year. And then Alexa had written in and said, please send some 710 KNUS listeners love to Henry. Just what a wonderful coincidence to hear from him as I'm walking in and then see her text before we even started to talk about it. And another comment. Now it just went away. What did I do with it? Well, somebody else wrote in, and I may have accidentally deleted it, but somebody else wrote in and said, yes, please join. Let me join Alexa in sending some love to Henry. And let me just share with you the response I just got from Henry. Thanks, Randy, for mentioning Nellie on the air this morning. As you know, she died on Christmas Day while I was holding her in my arms. I can't believe it's been a year already. Thanks to Alexa for remembering. And I'll just add to that, thanks to all the listeners who are now writing in and saying the same thing. It just means so much to care about, you know, it's coming up on a year now since my mom died, January 4th. And I, too, can't believe that the time goes so fast. 2 years in March since my dad passed away. So, you know, what do you do with all that? I guess we just get up every day and wrap our arms around those we love and remember how precious every single one of these days is. Let's squeeze in one more call before the break. Walt in Aurora, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Randy. Seems to me... Every election has some irregularities and some flaws and, yes, some fraud. And the only question to me is how much was there? And there seems to be two schools of thought on that here in Colorado. This was perfectly run and as good results as possible.
The gold standard, right, Walt?
Huh?
The gold standard.
The gold standard. That's one point of view. And the other point of view is some people who say, no, there was some problem. There were some problems. There was some fraud. Uh, they might be privy to some knowledge I don't have and is being suppressed, but either claim is a problem. We need to know how much irregularity and how much flaw and how much fraud occurs in these things. Yeah. And if we can't do that, then I think the Republican Secretary of State candidate is no better than the existing Democrat one.
Walt, great balanced comment. It ought to be something that can be talked about, even here in Colorado, without fear, without criticism, and just talking about facts, just talking about what we do know, what we don't know. And is it unfair to question why in every, especially in these battleground states here in Colorado, Jenna Griswold with her emergency order to prevent forensic audits in the counties and without very strict criteria that she supervises and oversees, why do the Democrats run interference against a forensic audit, against counting the ballots, canvassing the neighborhoods, or against just modifying the law to require voter ID to stop same-day registration and some of the other tremendously fraud-inducing policies that are in existence and in large part started right here in Colorado? Why do they push back so hard on that, Walt? Yeah, that's right. So people have to continue to talk about it. It concerns me a Secretary of State candidate says, I stand for it, but there was none of it. Yeah, it just doesn't make much sense to me. And maybe I've got her wrong. She's certainly welcome to call into the show. Last comment, we're late on the break, Walt.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead if you had one more.
As far as the Electoral College is concerned, I don't see how they could possibly certify any kind of result. And thank you.
Are you talking about from 2020? Or just in general?
2020 general election and
yeah.
Many before, but yeah.
Thank you all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Got surrounded by family or friends or both, or just the love and support you need. Another tough year under our belts and with all of the pounding of the statistics of the virus increase in cases. It is flu season, by the way. Remember, there were really no flu cases last year, if you look at the CDC. It's all COVID. But the pressure just continues. The Sixth Circuit overturned the Fifth Circuit stay of Joe Biden's mandated vaccination policy for large businesses, which means that can go back in effect now over the next 2 weeks. The people who got the stay in the Fifth Circuit have petitioned or planned a petition to the Supreme Court to stop that, because how are businesses going to scramble now over the Christmas holiday to get that in play? And I, you know, I guess I don't understand the appellate system as well as I thought I did. I haven't played there that much in the federal system. But how is it that the Sixth Circuit overrules the Fifth Circuit? It doesn't make any sense to me. And the Sixth Circuit is not, that's not like D.C. or anything. That's, I think, Kentucky and Michigan and states where you would expect some level of conservatism being brought to the judicial activism that we see so often in our court system. But I'm just not sure I understand how one circuit overturns another circuit. Aren't they on equal footing there? How does that work exactly? Something I really may have to learn during this next week myself, because it's very, very curious to me. And before we get to Joe and then Jim, before the top of the hour, if you were here last week for the final hour of the show, let me put it this way. If you missed the final hour of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran last week, it was so great to have my friend Dr. Julie McCallum and her new partner, Dr. Tim Watt, neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, Dr. Tim Watt, in studio for the entire hour. And man, we talked about everything. We talked about the vaccines and what they do to the body and how you can build up your own wellness and resistance and strengthen your body's ability to fight off even the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. And it was a fantastic show. And if you're a regular listener, you know I've been pitching for Dr. Julie now for some time because I just finished my first year with her. Strength is up, weight is down, and I just love the program. I know what I'm taking, what I'm putting in my body. I know when I should feel guilty about some of the things that I'm putting into my body. And it's not just, you know, keeping a chart or keeping a list of things. I actually get to see the results of my blood tests 90 or so more points of interest that I see every time they do the blood testing, the machines that check the bone density and all of that stuff. It gives you the tools to get back in control of your life, especially if, like me, you're aging. I'm 62 years old right now, and I can't say I've never felt better, but I can tell you this, a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have been thinking about buying a dirt bike and chasing my three-year-old grandson around on his new dirt bike because I was just tired, you know, and my body hurt when I got up. That pain is gone. It's unbelievable. And I know it's because Dr. Julie and the team at Cenogenics has been helping me with my metabolism and my hormones. They really can help you get in control of your life, get rid of that low energy, lack of focus, unintentional weight gain. Just don't put up with it for another day. Call Cenogenics. You will love it. Whether it's Dr. Julie, Dr. Watt, I promise you're going to love that first and free conversation. Their phone number, write this down, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. Or if you're driving, if you can't write it down right now, it's easy. Just remember denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Joe in Arvada, thanks for waiting, and good morning.
Good morning, Randy. We have to turn the tables on these liberals because what they're doing is they're demeaning character of good candidates by attacking them through the media mouth. We have to respond that, no, they're foolish for not believing that ballot harvesting it should be illegal, that paying like Zuckerberg's billions or whatever, how many ever millions that he stuffed into elections to favor Democrat candidates should be illegal. You shouldn't be able to just blanket cover one area of a voting state with ballot boxes and not in another area. You shouldn't be able to stuff 20 ballots into a box at a time. There's all kinds of things that happen in Wisconsin with nursing home, going into nursing homes, collecting 40 ballots, and they're all for Joe Biden. Give me a break. These kind of things happened. You're a fool if you don't think that it happened. Putting paper over precinct windows should be illegal. You shouldn't be allowed to exclude Republican onlookers. There's all kinds of things that it's not just smells bad. It was wrong. And the idea that, oh, this was a perfect election is just some uber-liberal Kyle Clark talking point.
So what do you want to hear from Republican candidates to get you inspired to actually help push Republicans over the line or at least put up the best fight possible here in Colorado, Joe?
Well, for one, just stick with your point. Make sure that whoever the interviewer is understands that you have your own viewpoint. You're entitled to yours. You're not entitled as the media to try to manipulate my viewpoint. You're not entitled to try to, take an opposite viewpoint. If you're our valid media, you're supposed to be interviewing the person for what they are bringing to the table, not what Kyle Clark is bringing to the table, not what, and I won't say who on your station, but is bringing to the table. In other words, don't tell us what won't get elected as Republicans if you're the interviewer. If you want to run for office, run for office. Don't tell us how our candidates should respond.
Yeah, I'm looking for a fighter. I'm looking for energy. I'm looking for somebody who gets me up out of my seat. And that's what it's going to take to have even a small chance moving forward next year.
I'm tired of hearing previous loser Republican leadership tell us what is wrong with our current candidates or tell us how we're going to lose elections. You lost elections for 30 years in Colorado. Why are you telling us anything?
Joe, Merry Christmas, my friend. I hope we get a chance to meet someday.
We will.
All right. God bless.
Bless you.
Yeah. And listen, if you are still interested in understanding how the shenanigans in prior elections, including 2020, have occurred, then just stay in touch. You know, I'm on these usually weekly calls, sometimes more often, and I don't always make them, but with just really important people like Hans von Spakovsky from Heritage Foundation and Cleta Mitchell, a powerful lawyer standing up to strengthen the integrity of our elections. Her website is whoscounting.us, W-H-O-S, whoscounting.us. Ken Blackwell was on with us on the call this week. And Heritage has set up this beautiful, beautiful website, webpage called the Election Scorecard. And they list the states in order, ranks 1 through 51, to include Hawaii and I think Puerto Rico. And they rank the best states to the worst states in defending election integrity. And they do it based on the laws that are in place, the laws that have been proposed, and it's just fascinating. And I'll tell you, there's this kind of thing is going on in so many different places. Be optimistic. Be strong. Learn for yourself. Check out these websites when I talk about them. Heritage.org, Election Scorecard. You will find it fascinating. Colorado ranks 31st, tied with New Mexico for 31st in election security. But they're score is a 53. I mean, it's an F on any grade. Well, I guess not in modern education. You get a trophy for participation. So Colorado gets a participation trophy for their gold standard elections, but they rate 53. And even the number one state, Georgia, which has done a decent job of passing election law reform already this year, only scores an 83. That's a low B. That's a lot better than 53, but anyway, you'll find it very, very fascinating. And just ignore what the nattering nabobs and nincompoops tell you. The fight for election integrity will continue. The truth will come out. I just simply have no doubt about it. And people loved the Pentatonics. We're nearing the top of the hour. Ted Harvey will join us at 10 o'clock, 303-696-1971, if you want to grab Joe's open line. And I've also got a wonderful story to tell you about a 24-year-old and sort of an unusual relationship and something that this young man said to his mom that was relayed to me that I think will touch your heart. So I hope you'll stay with us. Second hour of the show next. Merry Christmas, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.